Well, open your Bibles, if you would, to the Psalms. If you would, turn to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, written by, of course, David, and David was a shepherd. And this is, I don't know if there's any part of Scripture where I find more comfort than in the 23rd Psalm. Spurgeon says that its sweetness and spirituality are unsurpassed. It's been called the nightingale of the Psalms, the pearl of the Psalms. And I want to just share a few thoughts with you tonight from this wonderful psalm. One old Bible commentator says that we pillow our faith in the Psalms. And I like to read a psalm every day, and I like to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. The book of Proverbs is the wisdom book. It shows you how to negotiate life, how to get along with your fellow man, how to live in this old world. And then the Psalms, I just find comfort, and that's where I pillow my faith there. I trust that you do too. But there's nothing like the Psalms. It's been called a song of trust, a psalm of trust. Spurgeon says that the Psalms were a complete armory for life's battles and a perfect supply for life's needs. I love the Psalms. And I believe that this psalm does more for me, I think, when it comes to comfort and peace. And when I find difficulty and trouble and heartache, I find great comfort in this wonderful, wonderful psalm, this 23rd Psalm. Well, it's divided up into two parts. Some commentators see the first four verses as being David as the shepherd of the sheep, and then the last two verses, David is or the Lord is seen as the host, the gracious host. Some like to see the whole psalm as a shepherd's psalm, and perhaps the last two verses, rather than being a taking place perhaps in a very in a palace or some wonderful, beautiful home. Taking place in the shepherd's tent. Well, I don't know, but I know it's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. It's a great song of trust, and I don't know of any psalm that will teach us more how to trust God and believe God than this 23rd psalm. Well, the sheep, by the way, are the dumbest animals. Did you know that? There's no sheep more dumb, no animal more dumb than a sheep. He has no sense of direction. He's always wandering off and getting in trouble. He just seems to have a life of great difficulty. If anybody needs a shepherd, if anyone needs a shepherd, it's a sheep. And God's people are compared to sheep. Sometimes we don't have any sense of direction. Sometimes we make some very poor, dumb decisions about life. And so the Word of God often compares the people of God to sheep. But we see here that the sheep are helpless, they're dumb, they have no sense of direction, and they certainly need guidance and direction in their life. But then we see this very, very gracious host in the last two verses, and this is one who desires to comfort his guests and to make his guests feel welcome, to make his guests feel loved. Let's look at this wonderful psalm. The Lord is our guide and our protector in all the changes of life. If you had to sum up this wonderful psalm, that God loves his sheep, God loves his children, and God's promised guidance and direction and help and comfort and strength and protection in all of the changes of life. Let's look at this wonderful psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. By the way, this is a promise to the saved only. This doesn't apply to unsaved people. Now, salvation, then, you know, the root of the matter is this. I've got a sin problem. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on Calvary and shed his blood for my sin, to take away my sin. Some don't understand the importance of this. You see so many salvation testimonies, and they never mention the word sin. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life and all these kinds of things. No, I've got a sin problem. I need to have my sins forgiven. And when Christ died on Calvary, he died. He took the wrath and the terrible judgment and punishment that God had designed for sinners. All sin is punished. The wrath of God is upon sinners. Well, Jesus Christ took my place on the cross. He took the wrath and the judgment and the punishment that I deserved. So when I put my faith and trust in him as my Savior, my sins are forgiven. That's what salvation is all about. That's the root of the matter. I've got a sin problem. I've got to put my faith in Christ as Savior from my sin. I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. If you add church attendance to that, you nullify grace. If you add baptism to that, you nullify grace. You cancel all works, cancel out grace. No, I don't trust in anything but the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Do you know you're saved? Do you know that being beyond any shadow of a doubt that your sins are under the blood, that you're on your way to heaven? Do you have assurance? Do you know that you're saved? Have you got that all settled? I trust that you have. But the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, if you're not saved, God is not your Lord. This promise, these wonderful promises, wonderful psalm doesn't apply to you. This is for the saved only. But the obedience, by the way, is the basis of blessing. There's it's a wonderful place in the Word of God to find. How do you get blessed? Do you have God's blessing on your life? Do you know how to get the blessing of God? Well, the Word of God is saying something very important here. Obedience is the basis of blessing. God's blessing is everything, amen? I want God's blessing on my life. And obedience is the basis of blessing. God's blessing, and the basis of fellowship is obedience. I've heard people say, well, if you just believe in the gospel, we can have fellowship. No, the gospel is not the basis of fellowship. I've heard some people say, well, if you just believe the fundamentals of the Bible, we can have fellowship. No, that's not enough. I've got to be obedient to the Word of God. Obedience is the basis of fellowship, not the gospel, not the fundamentals of the faith. I've heard one man say, well, if you just love Jesus, I can fellowship with you. Well, I don't know the human heart. You can say that you love Jesus, but the only way I know whether or not you love Jesus is your obedience. Obedience is the greatest test, the greatest proof of God's obedience. Obedience is the greatest proof and the greatest basis of fellowship. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't you love the assurance of Bible Christian? The psalmist saying, look, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't guess so. I don't hope so. I don't think so. He is my shepherd. Don't you love the certainty of Bible Christianity? Do you know that only true Bible Christianity has real certainty? Every false religion always keeps people upset and disturbed and uncertain about their eternal destiny. No, Bible Christianity gives us, we can be certain. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the greatest basis of assurance right there. Were you sincere when you called on the Lord? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13 is the greatest basis of assurance of salvation. Well, the psalmist here has assurance of his salvation. The Lord is my shepherd. Christianity is a no-so religion. We don't have to guess, don't have to hope so, but we know. Are you all settled on that? Are you settled that you're saved? Your sins are under the blood? Do you have assurance tonight? Do you have certainty? I've never understood how anybody could ever enjoy their Christianity wondering every day whether or not they've lost their salvation. How do you know when you've lost it? These folks that say they lose their salvation, they can never tell you at what point they lose it. I think salvation is so important. If you could lose it, the Lord would tell you at what point you lost it. They can never, never tell you at what point you lose your salvation. Well, if you're really saved and born again, you can't lose it. It's forever. Eternal life is for eternity. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't you love that word, my? He's my personal shepherd. He's my God, my king, my shepherd, my master. He cares for me. My shepherd means it's personal. He cares for me. He loves me. He provides for me. He protects me. What a wonderful, wonderful thought to know that he is my shepherd. And above all, he blesses me. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he hath no sorrow to it. Proverbs 10:22. Do you know the blessing of the Lord on your life? God's blessing is everything. Amen. He says, I shall not want. That word, the rest of the psalm, by the way, is commentary on this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all the rest of this wonderful, wonderful psalm is simply commentary on that first sentence. If that's all it said, that would be enough, would it not? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And by the way, it's not speaking and not limited just to material need. The idea here is that, look, I'm utterly content. I don't need to be important. I don't need to be a big shot. I don't need wealth. I don't need fame. I don't need fortune. I don't need a big house. I don't need a big car. I'm utterly content. Are you satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ? And he not only saves, but he satisfies. Amen. Are you satisfied in the Lord? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for joy. I shall not want for peace. I shall not want for anything. I'm utterly content. That's the idea there in the Hebrew. I'm utterly content. I don't need anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Look at the future tense. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, there's no such thing as absolute security in this world. Back during the Great Depression, people's fortunes were wiped out overnight. They were jumping out of windows and killing themselves, committing suicide. Listen, we live in an uncertain world. We live in a fallen world. There's no such thing as security in this world. But the psalmist is secure. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's the basis of all security. God's in control. God's on the throne. God's going to take care of his children. I don't care what tomorrow brings. I shall not want. I don't care what the future holds. God's on the throne. God's going to take care of me. The Word of God says that He says, I know my sheep, there in John chapter 10. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? I know my sheep. The shepherd knows his sheep. They recognize his voice and they follow him and so on. But look at these, listen to some of these wonderful promises that God has for his sheep. It says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. What a magnificent promise. I believe I mentioned last time. It's so, so very important to get about 5 or 6 good promises and build your life around those promises. Well, here's a wonderful promise to build your life around. Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed. How blessed. That word, by the way, means to be envied in their happiness. A blessed man is a man who's envied, for he's happy. He's so happy. He's so joyful. He's so utterly content that he's to be envied. Oh, Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. David writing in another place says, I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now the commentators, they believe that the green pastures is a picture of the promises of God. And lying down in those green pastures is finding rest in the promises of God. But I think the Word of God is saying something very important. Let's not miss it here. He says, he maketh me to lie down. If you're a child of God, if you're saved, God's not going to let you live the way you want to live. If you're a Christian and your heart, you're full of, you've got problems and difficulties and heartache and discontent and trouble, you're not resting in the Lord. that perhaps there's sin somewhere in your life. Listen, do you think God's going to let you get away with living the way you want to live? God will bring trouble into your life. He'll make you to lie down in green pastures. He'll force you to come to the place where you learn to trust Him and live for Him. I think that's what the Word of God is suggesting here. He's going to make me lie down in green pastures. But what a wonderful, wonderful promise. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The still waters is a place of rest. The Lord's going to give us rest. And He's going to give us peace. He's going to give us joy. He's going to satisfy us. He leadeth me. Aren't you thankful for the fact that God leads and God guides and God directs in our life? I take great, great comfort in that God has a perfect will and that God's concerned about every detail of my life. The ancient shepherd was very, very diligent. He was always watching over the flock. Those shepherds were constantly watching out for wolves and for predators, constantly watching out for disease, anything that would harm the sheep. The thing that marked the true shepherd, he was very diligent. He was always concerned about the sheep. He loved the sheep, and he was very diligent in keeping up with the sheep. He knew everything about them. It was said that even some of those shepherds in the ancient world could feel the absence of a sheep. I believe God feels our absence, and He may have to make us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The shepherds talk about what they call cast down sheep, or cast sheep. And sometimes those sheep, they can wander off, and particularly if they're overweight and got too much wool and hadn't been sheared, they can lay down. If they're not careful, they can roll over on their back and not get up again. Wolves, all kinds of predators, are always looking for what they call the cast sheep or the cast down sheep. Those cast down sheep are very, very vulnerable to attack. Did you know that when you're cast down and you're depressed and you're discouraged, that you're very vulnerable to satanic assault? The joy of the Lord's our strength. Our contentment in the Lord is strength. When we're discontent, we open up ourselves to satanic attack. Is that not what Satan did in the Garden of Eden? Did he not create discontent? Watch out. When you become discontent and unhappy and discouraged, you're opening yourself up to satanic attack. Well, these cast-down sheep were very much prey, very easy prey. And so the good shepherd was always looking to, when he saw a sheep missing, the first thing that came to his mind, I wonder if he's cast down somewhere. I wonder if he's laid down and rolled over into a low spot on the ground and laying on his back and his legs kicking and he can't get up. That's the cast down sheep. Sometimes we get so cast down we think we can't get back up again. Now the good shepherd, he restores our soul. If you've sinned, he'll forgive sin. He'll restore you to purity. If you're weak, he'll give you strength. Whatever it is, God will restore. He'll restore unto us the peace and the joy of our salvation. He restoreth my soul. When sinful, He restores purity. It's not the forgiveness of sins, perhaps the greatest blessing in life. Knowing your sins are under the blood, you're on your way to heaven. When sorrowful, He gives joy. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. A lot of times these paths in the sheep fields, in the fields, in the pasture lands, were very rough paths, usually along the edge of the field, the edge of a cornfield, for example. They were always usually full of ruts and holes and actually a very hard path. And the Word of God says that He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Sometimes this Christian life is a hard path, is it not? Often full of trouble and difficulties and trials. Well, the good shepherd's promised to lead us through these very treacherous, dangerous paths of life. But by the way, the path of righteousness is always a hard path. It's always a difficult path. And the true man of God always, always takes the hard and uncompromising path. May God help us to live right and do right. And lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What else do we see here? It says, for His name's sake. By the way, God's name means His character. We talked about the name of God. It means the whole character of God, the person of God, and all that He is and His attributes and so on. Some of the wonderful names of God, the Good Shepherd, the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the God of all comfort, the Prince of Peace. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. When you know God, and you know that all that he is in his person, so easy to trust in him and rely on him and throw your full weight upon him. Well, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Life is uncertain. We've gone from green pastures now to the valley. The valley in the Word of God is a picture of the place of despair. And the idea of uncertainty, the shadow of death, suggests the idea of a very desperate place, a place of despair and desperation, a place of uncertainty. But we have a wonderful, magnificent promise. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you have are you a fearful Christian? I trust not God. The psalmist says, look, I fear nothing. Why? Because thou art with me. My shepherd is with me. My God will take care of me. I fear no evil. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Get that fear out of your life. One of the interesting characters in Pilgrim's Progress was Mr. Fearing. And Mr. Fearing, John Bunyan said he had the root of the matter in himself. He was a saved man, but he never enjoyed his religion very much. He was always worrying and fretting and full of fear and doubt. That's a sad state of affairs for a Christian, is it not? A Christian should live this life with no fear. God is with us. What's the Word of God saying here? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I think death is the greatest evil for somebody that's not saved and on their way to heaven. But death for the saint is no enemy. There's no remedy for the unsaved except for Christ. What a terrible, terrible thing to die in your sin and go to hell. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? There's no sting of death for the Christian. There's no victorious grave. What a wonderful psalm. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Again, one of the great blessings of salvation. Know that you can't lose your salvation. I was speaking to a good man, a good free will Baptist preacher. Now, some of the old free will Baptists thought you could lose your salvation. And we were in a restaurant talking, and he was telling me how he thought you could lose your salvation. And I quoted this passage from John 10 and talked about no man could pluck them out of my Father's hand. And he said, well, but can't you pluck yourself out? And I said, well, are you a man? He said, yeah. Well, the Word of God says, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, if you're saved, your sins are under the blood, you're on your way to heaven, you can't lose your salvation. Paul, writing in Romans, says neither life nor death, nor the past nor the future, can separate us from the love of God. Well, if the past can't separate you from the love of God, the future can't separate you from the love of God, if death can't separate you from the love of God, then what in the world can separate you? No, when you've got it, you've got it. I take great comfort in the fact that I can't lose my salvation. How could you enjoy your Christian life getting up every day thinking you might sin that day and lose your salvation? Suppose you're driving to work, somebody cuts you off and you get angry and you go over in the ditch and get killed. Does that mean you've lost your salvation because you died with an angry spirit? They can't ever tell you at what point you lose your salvation. Well, no, you can't lose it if you really have it. I think one of our problems is a lot of people don't have it. They think they got it. John Newton said there's going to be three surprises when I get to heaven. The man that wrote Amazing Grace. He says, we're going to be surprised at the people that are not there that we thought would be there. Then we're going to be surprised at a lot of people that we thought was there that's there that we didn't think was going to make it. And he said, but most, the greatest surprise of all is that old John Newton made it. Well, I take great comfort in the fact that my sins are under the blood, I'm on my way to heaven, and I can't lose my salvation. No man can pluck them from the Father's hand. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was sort of a club. And the rod was used as a club to protect the sheep from wolves and other predators. The rod was also used to tap the sheep and make the sheep quicken his pace or slow him down. I'm thankful for God's timing, aren't you? Sometimes I get to moving too slow or sometimes too fast, but God has a club that slows me down when I need to be slowed down or speeds me up when I need to go faster. That's the purpose of the rod. Sometimes it's used to count the sheep. The shepherd knows how many sheep he's got. He knows where they are, how many there are, and sometimes he just has a sense of when somebody's absent. Job 31:4, does not he see my ways and count all my steps? I take great comfort in the fact that God sees all my ways and God counts all my steps. My shepherd loves me and cares for me and protects me and guides me and directs me. I take great comfort in my shepherd. And the staff is for guidance. It's kind of a long stick with a big crook, a hook on the end of it. And sometimes he could use that to rescue the sheep. Sometimes he could use it to guide the sheep and direct the sheep. Aren't you thankful for the protection of God and the guidance of God? I take great comfort in God's rod and God's staff. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I find this Christian life is just a great banquet, don't you? No matter what opposition I have, what enemies I have, what trouble and difficulty I have, when I trust the Lord and trust my good shepherd, all life is a banquet. People don't upset me and get me out of sorts spiritually and cause me trouble and difficulty. My God, if I trust him, he'll prepare a banquet before me in the very presence of mine enemies. And the Word of God says, he anoints my head with oil. By the way, that's the joy of the Holy Spirit. Here we see the picture of the gracious host who wants to make his guests comfortable, who wants to communicate his love for his guests, who wants to share abundance, share abundantly with the host. Or with the guest. The idea is that he anoints my head with oil. And many see in that the joy of the Holy Ghost. Do you have that deep joy of the Holy Spirit down in your heart? Do you know the joy of the Lord? Do you have the satisfaction of salvation? I trust that you do. And he says, my cup runneth over. A good gracious host always wanted to make sure that he had great abundance. John 10:10. God said, I come to give life and give it more abundantly. Do you have an abundant Christian life? God wants to bless us. God wants to do good things for us. He anoints our head with oil. He gives us joy, gives us gladness, the oil of gladness. And he gives us wonderful abundance. Are you living the abundant Christian life? God wants to do good things for his people. God's blessing is everything. It's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. By the way, if you're going to live this Christian life, you're going to have enemies. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, if a man has no enemies, he's no good. If you take a stand for righteousness and for godliness and holiness and stand for what's right, you're going to have enemies. Convictions have edges on them. Convictions will cause friction and trouble and difficulty if you believe something. Well, rest assured, you're going to have enemies. The Word of God doesn't say if you have enemies. God says he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. You live this Christian life, you're going to have opposition. No matter how kind and loving and sweet you are, there's going to be people that's not going to like you because you stand for what's right. Because your godly testimony down on the job serves as a rebuke to them. Because you don't laugh at their dirty jokes. You don't use the same language they use. And your light serves as a rebuke. You're going to have enemies. We just simply live in a fallen world. But we have a wonderful shepherd who prepares for us a table in the presence of our enemies. Our enemies won't disturb us. They won't distract us. They won't get us off track spiritually if we're trusting in our great shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Maybe that's the greatest promise in all the Word of God. You say, well, boy, I didn't feel God's goodness to follow me today. I had one of those days. Everything went wrong. Listen, all things work together for good to those that love God. Good was following you today. You may not have known it, but that God was preparing you perhaps for a very, very special blessing. Some days you have trouble and difficulty. Not every day, looked at from a human standpoint, is a good day. But I have a magnificent promise that these two angels, as one commentator said, the two angels of God's goodness and God's mercy. God's goodness, God prepares wonderful good things for us, and God's mercy blots out our sins. No greater blessing than the forgiveness of sins. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's promised to bless me today, do good things for me. God's promised to forgive all my sins. Then the wonderful prospect of living somewhere forever with Him. What a wonderful, wonderful psalm this is. I was going to end this in a different way, but I came across this wonderful quote from Spurgeon, talking about our serving our wonderful master, being a wonderful servant. Listen to what Spurgeon said. These were supposedly the last words that he preached at the tabernacle shortly before he died. The last words he preached at his, what they call the tabernacle in London before he died. Listen to this. It says, if you wear the livery, the uniform, if you wear the uniform, the livery of Christ, you will find Him so meek and lowly of heart that you will find rest under your souls. He is the most magnanimous of captains. There never was His like among the choicest of princes. He is always to be found in the thickest part of the battle. When the wind blows cold, He always takes the bleak side of the hill. The heaviest end of the cross lies ever on His shoulders. If He bids us carry a burden, He carries it also. If there's anything that is gracious, generous, kind, and tender, yea, lavish and superabundant in love, you always find it in Him. His service is life, peace, joy. Oh, that you would enter in on it at once. God help you to enlist under the banner of Jesus Christ. Our Father God, we're thankful today for this precious salvation, this so great salvation, and all the wonderful blessings. Father, we're thankful for blessings. Even, Father, we're not worthy of the least of Thy mercies. But You're the good shepherd who wants to do good things for His sheep. Father, we're thankful for Your guidance and Your direction and Your protection. We're thankful, Father God, for all the good things that You do for us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.